Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today we talk about crowd brawls and what should the AFL do, Jeremy McGovern, what it means, and Freo, where to now.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is...
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. Tuesday, which means it's time for the first edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. Glenn Quatermain.
Duff.
The $1.2 million a year sports editor of the Sunday Times.
Oh, I wish. Mate, if I was, I don't know if I'd be sitting here.
I'm Mark Duffield, the 2 and sixpence chief football writer of the West Australian.
I think we all know that's not right, Duff.
How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm all right, yes. Great weekend of footy.
It was a great weekend of footy.
I managed to scrape through with six, which a couple of tips that didn't go my way, but that's okay. That's how it goes. I managed to get the Cats over the line just...
Mate, I was spewing on Saturday night, so I thought I had two really brave tips, and I think I would have been lucky to get the Brisbane-Adelaide one because Adelaide were basically two goals in front all night, and Brisbane came late.
Yeah, I was barracking hard for that result, I can tell you.
But, geez, I reckon I had a moral victory at Cadinia Park with Melbourne. What happened there?
Oh, gee, it was just brutal by Geelong in the last quarter. There's been a lot of sentiment for Melbourne saying, you know, great effort to be 29 points in front early in the last quarter.
Pretty poor effort to lose a 29 point. None from me.
That was an inexcusable loss for them.
Yep.
Obviously, they're going to be a good side for some time. They've got the nucleus of it. But that was a setback. And that last quarter, that was not a yelp. Tom Hawkins, best quarter of footy I've ever seen him play. 7 goals for the game, 4 goals in the last quarter. Just demanded the footy. Had a midfield that was capable. We saw some little Gaz magic. Dangerfield stood up. It was incredible the last quarter. It was momentum, but Melbourne's got to be better than that. If they want to be a top four side, and in contention, they've got to be able to flick the switch to stop that momentum.
I absolutely agree with you. I think even you look at the last play when Geelong were able to shift the ball so easily, I'm not sure what Melbourne were doing trying to continue scoring in that last minute. Yeah. They had opportunities just to kick the ball 20 metres backwards. I think it was Jeff Garlett took the shot that kicked the point. And the kick in.
You knew.
Once it was a point.
I knew.
You knew they're going to roll the dice here and they are almost an even money bet here.
The only thing I got wrong was I was saying it'll definitely be Hawkins. and I hear from the coach's box, Gunnar Scarlett was whispering in Chris Scott's ear for some time, get Tui forward. And he got him forward and it was a good move. Terrific. And what a great story. It's just great that he shot, he put the ball through, showed nerves of steel. I'm sure he didn't, but outwardly he did. Just a great story. Well done.
So, Quarters, I reckon a couple of questions that will come out of it will be,
yep.
Well, apart from why were drunks punching on in the grandstand afterwards?
You saw a little bit of that last night myself. I was at the Chelsea game, Chelsea-Perth Glory. I was in the middle of the Chelsea supporters group, and there's a little bit of that. Not a great, massive one, but there was enough of it. I was there with my two sons, who were 9 and 10, and didn't need to see it. There was, a bit of a clip behind the ears and someone spitting in someone's face.
At a friendly.
At a friendly, yeah, and I reckon they were all Chelsea supporters too. So
that is, just
I don't want to. And I must say, there were quite a core group of Chelsea supporters around the group who were just calmly telling them to calm down and let's enjoy this experience. So it was a very small group of people. I think there was 3 or 4 of them involved, and they were led away after about 5 minutes. And so were there 4 of the people they were with. So there were about 8 empty seats after about 5 minutes. You know, short, not long into the first half.
We should never let the minority taint institutions or events, but, you know, don't drink too much. Understand there are women and children present.
Yeah.
And just don't leave your brain at the gate.
So there's a lot of talk, and this has been huge in Melbourne the last couple of days in Geelong, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Booze ban?
Yeah, well, they're talking booze ban, they're talking segregation. So I don't think we need to do either. I think it's great that we're grown up enough to have the conversation about it, and it's worth suggesting. But segregation, no, we're not there yet. The fact that we can have the conversation means we're a million years away from what they do in England with soccer. I think as far as the booze ban goes, I think mid-strength's okay. I just think if they – and I don't blame security people. They do their best. Maybe we just need more of them.
Prohibition never worked in the US quarters, no. And it won't work here. What you'll have is you'll have people preloading.
Well, they do, yeah.
Before they go to games, and then they'll turn up drunk, and then the longer you get drunks congregated together, the more chance you have of bad results. I would say, you know, just serve alcohol normally and responsibly. Hopefully people turn up sober. Hopefully they drink moderately, and hopefully they are controlled. If someone does have too much and gets out of hand.
I grew up in Melbourne, 70s, 80s. There was a fight a week. Mm. So this is nothing new. But maybe we are at the stage where we need more crowd controllers. Yeah. You've got the right to pay for your seat, to take your family to the footy, have a bit of banter, but at the end of it, no, you're not in fear. Yeah. And unfortunately, at the moment, there are those situations where people are in fear.
Okay. So a couple of significant results. Obviously, the Geelong-Melbourne one is significant, even though Geelong won and went out of the eight. The GWS-Port Adelaide game.
Well, for me, it puts Port out of the picture. Paddy Ryder. And I hear the news that he may be back sooner than expected, so we're still talking another couple of weeks, but that would be good for them. Has had massive ramifications for them, Port. They've just been unable to get the ball from the stoppages, and they've been unable to score. GWS, I drew the line through them about 5-6 weeks ago. Well, you know, I'm regretting that now because they are right in it. And I reckon Richmond's just starting to look over their shoulder a bit.
I reckon anyone above GWS is looking over their shoulder. They're now closing in on top four. They've got St Kilda and Carlton to come in the upcoming weeks. So they're going to be, however close they are now, I'm not going to say they're absolutely certain to be closer because we saw what Gold Coast did to Sydney on the weekend, but they should win those two games and they should creep a lot closer to the top four.
I think we also saw Collingwood, a really emphatic display against North Melbourne. Super, super forward line, just so multi-pronged. Mm. Going to be right amongst it deep, and I don't think there's any doubt West Coast going to be right amongst it deep. Albeit played against a side that was decimated, still got the job done convincingly, albeit in a scrappy affair, but I think we're going to see West Coast, Collingwood, Richmond and GWS for mine. Little asterisks against Melbourne. The flag will come from that group. At the moment, West Coast is looking, unless something goes horribly wrong, top two. So you got home final.
Yeah, I wrote a piece last week saying, you know, the demise of Nick Natanui doesn't mean the end of West Coast this year. I think they're a different team to the Eagles team that relied so heavily on Natanui. They're a more rounded team. They've evolved into a team that's less reliant on individuals. I think if there was a line they're reliant on now, it's their half-back line.
Yeah.
And that's why...
Well, they've just got ones locked in.
Correct, Jeremy McGovern.
So that's
Jeremy, interesting. You're buying the drinks.
So a week or 2 weeks ago, there was $1.2 million on the table from Freo, good offers from other clubs, and the Eagles certainly had not matched that. But Nick Nat's injury may have just opened the door. I believe his contract ends at the end of 2019.
End of 2019.
So there's some scope for them, some room for them. I think that's how it was enabled. I believe they've matched it. I believe Freo were prepared to go a couple of years longer.
I think Freo might have been not quite as high, but 1 year longer.
Yeah, okay.
But I think there's also an Eastern States club which may have been more again. I think Jeremy McGovern may have taken less money to stay.
Yep. Well, I think he's a WA boy. He has said that in the past. Yeah. I just guess we were wondering which club he was going to end up at here. I love it because I love players staying with the club.
Absolutely.
I like that longevity.
The club that gives you your opportunity should always have the inside running in a contract negotiation.
And the funny thing now, so we've got Gaff and Lycett. So Lycett now edges ahead of Gaff in importance for the Eagles. And we're talking about Gaff who, well, after the weekend, I think Tommy Mitchell's going to take a bit of beating in the Brownlow, but Gaff's going to be right up there. Polls well and has had a sensational year.
Could be an interesting Brownlow.
Yeah, and Max Gawn as well.
Max Gawn and Sean Higgins.
Yeah, Sean Higgins, of course, yes. But I just think, would you agree with that? Lysett's probably more important now than Gaff?
Well, I reckon, and you made the point, Nick Natanui's injury. Now, if they prune $400,000 a year off Nick Nat's contract, and you've got to remember, because of Nick Nat's marketability around town, Nick Nat will still be a very wealthy man out of football, even if they say, well, Nick, two knee reconstructions, you're too high a risk, we're knocking you back to a $500,000 a year player. He will still make a lot of money out of football. I'm not sure that he will be in great demand from other clubs because of the risk factor.
Yep.
And they can probably do that, and they can probably... I doubted they could get all three. I think they probably can now.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say it's in a funny way. Of course, we didn't wish the injury on Nick Nat. We wish he was playing.
Yeah.
But it's opened the door for them to keep all three in a strange way, which I don't think would have happened otherwise.
And look, they play a more rounded game, and they're a very efficient team now, West Coast. They get good bounce off the back, they get good ball movement, and their forwards know how to play together as a unit. And they bloody well should, too. I mean,
yeah, they've been together for a while.
Guys like Kennedy, Darling, and Lacroix, and Cripps to a lesser degree, they've been playing together for years.
Yeah, they talk about Richmond perhaps having the best balance between forward and attack, and they're probably right. But, you know, Eagles aren't far off that. They are beautifully balanced, and the midfield now has a bit of depth, which is why I'd put Lysett ahead of Gaff in the negotiations.
Yep.
Albeit, you'd want to keep Gaff with the form he's in. The other game, obviously, we'll get on to GWS Sydney in a moment. Oh, my God, that just I was reeling back in my chair. Gold Coast Sydney was just inexplicable, that loss. 29 points up at quarter time, and just no one. Only the most diehard Gold Coast fans would have picked them last week.
So the two things I reckon that come out of that game are that Sydney are gone.
Yeah.
I know you're reluctant to let them go, Quarters, but they're
gone. You know what? I'm like Leonardo DiCaprio on the raft, mate. I'm going under, but I'm just hanging on because when Buddy's there, and they have become a bit Buddy reliant, which is exactly what happened to Hawthorn when Buddy was there. When he's there, I'm just reluctant to write him off because anything is, if they get into the finals, he's just capable, that's all.
They will get into the finals, but they will not be in the top four, which means they will have to win four in a row, and they're not playing well often enough
you're right.
to win four in a row against the top end. That's my logic. The second thing to come out of that game is if you're Gold Coast, and I suspect they've already done it anyway, let Tom Lynch go. Do not fight to keep him.
Richmond or Collingwood, that's it.
Peter Wright is a very good tall forward. Braden Crossley has enormous promise. You've still got Sam Day lurking in the wings there.
So no Lynch, no Swallow, no Day, Martin, Hall or Hanley in last week's win over Sydney at the SCG, first time they've beaten the Swans. No, that's where you're going with it.
Build a midfield. Use the $1 million that you're paying Tom Lynch now to bed down other senior players. Make sure you keep them.
Dave being the number one priority.
Stop the line through the exit door. May, you mean?
Yeah.
Stephen May.
Sorry, yes. I'm having a great morning this morning.
May being the top priority, but also David Swallow, your senior midfielder. Build a new midfield. And, you know, the climb may come a lot quicker than people think, because what they showed on the weekend is when they come to play, this is what they're capable of.
You know, you create an environment at a club, and I think they've got that now with Stuart Dew, where it's somewhere you want to be. We see it now with Chris Fagan at Brisbane, and they lost at the weekend, but there was they ran Adelaide pretty close. They played, say, sustained their football. So that's what they need to do, just create an environment where it feels good to go to work. And I believe even though it's been a horrible year for them, that seems to be the case. That's what he's trying to do.
My understanding is that the club is a lot better organised under Mark Evans.
Yeah,
so Mark Evans has put a lot of things in place that have made the club look and feel better for the players. So now, as I said in my column on Monday, lose the battle, win the war.
Yep.
Let Lynch go and stabilise yourself as a football club. Quarters, let's move on to Frio.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the loss to Essendon, probably what we expected. They hung in for three quarters. I love Bailey Banfield's game for three quarters on Zach Merritt.
Just shows you, as Ross Lyon said, you got to finish it off.
He got out from underneath him in the last and did a lot of damage, but Bailey Banfield.
I can't believe they were 10 points down. So what, 13-21 Essendon. They should have put him away early. They didn't. Freo were 10 points down in the last quarter with a chance, but I don't think they were ever really a chance.
No, not really. You always suspected that at some point Essendon would do enough offensively to put the game away. But the question now, Harley Bennell plays for Peel at the weekend. He spends some time off the ground with an ankle concern, but gets back on, has 22, kicks a goal. Ross Lyon said last week, this is the first game where we're really letting him go. He's open throttle this week. So basically,
so he's playing for Peel this week, he's saying.
No. Last week's game, he said, this is the first game that we're letting Harley off the leash. There are no limits on what he does physically. He's just out there unleashed on the game. So is that enough to play against your boys this week?
You
would play him against Hawthorn this
week. Why wouldn't you? Why are you holding him back? Why does he not play this week?
I guess they would know better than us what the risk factors are. But I tend to agree with you. I think once you've reached that peak level, sooner or later you've got to put him in. And
it's a home game against a Hawthorn that's gettable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter who they're playing. It's a home game. Play him. He's the investment. It's been a long road back. He's played a block of footy. Last week looked good. He plays, I reckon.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play. I think a home game is the time to do it. If you don't play him this week, you're basically looking at a derby. I'd give him a look against Hawthorn.
See how he goes, see how he pulls up.
And if he
pulls up okay, goes
flies the flag, he goes into the derby.
And the other interesting thing was Darcy's late withdrawal, which allowed Scott Jones to have a bit of a go in the ruck. So that's okay, so they're out of the equation for the finals. All that sort of stuff will help build building blocks for the future, I reckon. He was okay.
He's a good competitor, Scott Jones, isn't he? Like he won't leave you wondering whether he's got anything left when he's out there. He gets to every contest. He puts his body on the line at every contest. I would like to see what he's like after another pre-season, because I think a second AFL pre-season is when their bodies start to take shape. Mm. Scott's now, I think he'll be 23 next year. He's a huge lump of a lad. He's about 204 centimetres. He'd be about 110, 115 kilos. He's a big, big boy. And Ross Lyon said he's got some explosiveness in terms of his ability to move sideways quickly. And you can kind of see that in marking contests, because he gets to a lot of contests when he seems to be out of position. So hopefully they've got something to work with. And that would be great if they had that, the third ruckman for next year when Sandilands is still around, and the second ruckman for the year after when Sean Darcy is looking like he's going to be the main man. What else caught your eye, Quarters?
Hawthorn, Carlton. It was really interesting. Clarko's support for Brendan Bolton afterwards. And I remember 2005 very all too well. Yes. I just got back from the UK, started watching my beloved Hawks at the G and getting pantsed every week by 110, 120 points and just turning up every week, as Carlton supporters are doing, bless them. So that was good to see, a bit of brotherhood there. And, of course, Howe to come out of that match. Did he deserve the two? Probably. I mean, he's a bit unfortunate, Howe, really, because he's gone to give him a jumper punch and just executed it really badly and got him in the gob. Mm. He didn't mean to. I don't think he meant to punch him in the face, but he did punch him in the face. And it's the same with the trip. I don't think it was intentional. But it's really clumsy, and it's obviously had the effect of it's a pretty severe injury on his opponent. So I think he gets weeks for that as well. So he'll miss a block of footy. I don't think it's, he'll miss 4 or 5 weeks, I think, all up. And
2+2?
Oh, yeah, it's 2+2, I think, would be fair. It is a trip at the end of the day, and I don't think you could be sort of, as a Hawthorn fans, I don't think can be calling hard done by at the tribunal this year. So Ryan Burton got away scot-free earlier on. So
well, at the end of the day, Zach Fisher's got a broken leg.
He has, yeah.
He?
And that's the result of a trip from Howe. So you've got to pay the price for that.
And a punch is a punch. I know what you're saying. It was an exchange of those high body shots that players do all the time, as opposed to hauling off and hitting him sort of Barry Hall, Brent Staker style.
Yep.
But he still got him high. Cripps goes down, so therefore...
For that game, I know it was, you know, you're playing a Carlton side that's very vulnerable, but Luke Bruce, another five, so he takes him to 41 goals this year. And Tom Mitchell, not only the 46 possessions, but the 9 tackles as well. And, you know, I think he's now out in front, I think. He's going to take a bit of catching. As you said, it's going to be a fascinating Brownlow night.
It is, because I think there's going to be 5 genuine contenders.
Yeah, Gaff's every chance.
Unless the umpires pick up Mitchell and run with him. Because if that happens, he could bolt this
in. Well, he does poll well.
Yeah.
So I think they will. He could be clear runaway. And you know he's going to keep polling.
Exactly. He'll poll in a lot of games. And if he's picking up 2s and 3s as opposed to 1s and 2s, then I think Tom Mitchell will probably win and win comfortably.
And they've won enough games for him because it's not as if they've won 2. So I think he'll – and you mentioned earlier Higgins, I think, will poll very well, as will Grundy at Collingwood. It'll be a good year for polling for Ruckman, I think. Whether they win it or not is another story. It is the midfielders' medal after all, but I think it'll be a good year for polling.
The other incident that we'll talk about is Shannon Hearn, the hit on
he's a bit lucky.
Honeychurch.
I think he's a bit lucky.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to say at the outset, before Eagles fans get all angry, no malice.
No.
In it whatsoever. It was clumsy.
Well, you can see he's put the hands up straight away. He's not that sort of player. Total ball player, Shannon Hearn. But you've still executed a crude bump. It was hip on head. The ball was sort of out sideways. So, you know, I think he considered himself lucky. But having said that, I'm not, you know, disappointed he didn't get a week. Because he doesn't. Does he deserve a week? He probably did. But I think we can all say, you know, Shannon Hearn is a fair ball player. So, you know, and probably the All-Australian captain this year.
Well, I think he's the All-Australian captain, I think. But you are right. It was interesting. The audio of the umpire said he chose to bump, but they believed it was an accident.
And you know what? They're going to need him this week because it's North Melbourne in Tassie. And that's – no, it's in Tassie though, mate.
Bring your spinnaker.
Exactly. Yeah, bring your spinnaker. Get your hair ties, your extra strong hair ties for that one. It should be a bit windy off the Derwent.
I don't like it as a venue. I know that Hobart
beautiful
has,
spot.
I know that Hobart has the right to host games because they're a city in Australia, and you know they take AFL games everywhere. I would have no qualms about footy going to Hobart if it was a downsized Etihad Stadium. You know, under the roof. Out of the weather, but the weather there is so severe. Like when you're trying to watch AFL footy, and blokes are kicking it to centre half forward, and it's blowing back to the.
Oh yeah, you want to try and play golf there? I've played many, many weekends and weeks playing golf in Tassie. I tell you, it's hardcore.
Oh, it would be,
particularly when you're no good.
Well, it was fascinating to watch the last round of the British Open on Sunday night when the wind got up a bit. That tested a few blokes.
It does do that in Scotland.
It does. Yeah. It gets a bit blowing in Scotland.
It does, and cold.
And And well done to, what's the Italian guy?
Oh, God, you've tested me. Yeah, that guy. The other guy, the other tenor.
Frankie?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And good to see Tiger in contention,
too. So when Tiger hit the front.
It was great.
So I stayed up and watched it on Sunday night. When Tiger hit the front on Sunday, I just thought to myself, oh, this is on now. And you could almost see a few of the blokes around him started getting all wobbly. They saw his name on the leaderboard. And they're thinking, oh, here he
and
comes.
And the galleries just love him.
Yeah.
They just come. He's like Arnold Palmer in the 50s and 60s. That's what Arnold Palmer was like for anyone old enough. He was the guy who just would whip the galleries up into a frenzy and they'd hear about him and then they'd storm. No one else had any galleries. It was just all following Arnie's army, they used to call him.
Yeah.
And this is Tiger's own tribe or whatever you want to call it.
I can't believe I can't remember the name of the winner.
Yeah, I can't either. It's a shocker. Anyway, this is a football podcast.
Okay, very sorry, very sorry. What are you looking forward to this week, Quarters? Because I think we may have one of the biggest crowds in home and away history on Saturday at the MCG.
Yeah, look, I am looking forward to the Tigers and Pies. I think they will be seriously challenged, Richmond. Collingwood playing some really good footy at the moment. Still be erring on the side of Richmond, I think, with my tipping at the G.
Erring on the side of feralness.
Yeah, about 19 in a row now, the G.
It'll be feralness.
Federation, I think they lost at the G.
Feralness over toothlessness,
what it'll be. I think there might be a few more crowd controllers this week.
There might be at that game.
And looking forward to my boys over here. So Freo fans, just go easy on us. Just enjoy a nice game of footy.
That'll be a good game. I'll enjoy watching that.
I was a week ago, I would have tipped Freo. I'm just now wavering. I might go with my boys this week.
I'll be wanting to see selection before I make
of course.
Obviously, Freo have a couple of big ins pending, and if they get a couple of them back, I
and
think
I'm not sure what's happening with McAvoy. He might be another week away still, but he's pretty keen to get back in, so he's very important to Hawthorn.
Right, thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll be doing all the tips for the next round, and of course, every round becoming crucial in the race for the eight and the race for the top four. Hope you've enjoyed the show this morning, brought to you by Tab Touch, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday. Thank you.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.